go to Dudley Dawson. He's on the Fidelity Communications hotline. Dudley, are you a golf fan? Are you a Masters guy?
Absolutely. The once got chased off the Masters green. I just walked out there and people came from everywhere. So that was during not during the tournament, obviously. So
that's awesome. I mean, it was pretty cool.
It's
a couple of notches in my book to trespass on Augusta. That is awesome.
Yeah, I went back, went down there for the Nike tournament that they held just across the state line in Augusta, South Carolina, and you know, just thought I'd drop by. And from the outside, it looks very casual, but the you know, so walked out there, and here they came from everywhere.
Dudley, what's going on recruiting wise? With I've been looking on Twitter, and I see all these national guys tweeting: this player's transferring, this guy's a senior transfer, this guy, these kids are looking at transferring, and it seems like Arkansas is on a lot of their list. Where is Arkansas?
Well, and you've got numerically, you have one spot left, obviously, with the three that they've signed, those three that will be playing this weekend in Memphis in the Mike Conley Challenge. But as you said, there's some kids. Chris Darrington is a junior college point guard they're looking at. There's several, as you mentioned, graduate transfers out there and just regular transfers. And, of course, yesterday, Keelan and Dedrick came of Lawson came a you know, decided they were going to transfer out of Memphis. That's a couple of kids that Arkansas recruited real hard back in the day and were in the mix for, even though, you know, it looked pretty logical that they were going to stay home from Memphis. So there's a bunch of different options, and I think they're just trying to assess them all in large part because this the late signing period, which runs April 12th through May 17th, is coming up, but it's not something you have to get things done right away in.
It's a tough decision because – do you want a guy that will help immediately next year, or maybe you take a chance on a transfer and he sits out a year and then, you know, he joins that big junior class? It's a tough one for the coaches.
Yeah, the only way I would take a kid that had to sit out was if he had 2 years left or, you know, the Lawsons, obviously, you would find a numerical way to fit them in here somehow, because not only do they have the main two brothers that have been playing in college, but they have Chandler, who's a 2019 Chandler Lawson, who's a 2019 high prospect, and then of all things, an eighth grade brother who brings up the last of the pipeline. So that gets you a pipeline going right there. If you could get that going, I don't know how legitimate it's going to be. I thought I thought both of them would probably turn pro at the end of this year, but that didn't happen. And they're going to go somewhere and sit out a year. But, you know, with Arkansas, I think as far as transfers, if you don't have somebody immediately, they better be able to give you more than just a one-year deal.
With that remaining scholarship, if it's not one of these transfers or a grad transfer, if they're looking JUCO high school, what are they looking? What is it they want?
I've tried to pin them down a little bit on that, and they keep using the phrase the best fit, which I think is a way of saying, well, if it's the best big guy, if it's the best wing guy, if it's the best point guard, then, you know, that's what we'll take. And I think that, you know, there's probably some validity to that, and especially with all these transfers out there, they're just kind of looking, what can they do to make next year's team better? And, you know, I can see why you would want to add another big guy. I can see why you'd want to add a scorer on the wing, although I like C.J. Jones to come in next year and really fill that role. And I also can see, you know, Arkansas has no legitimate true point guard on this roster. They have some lead guards. They have some guards who do a good job as point guards at times, but no true point guard. So a guy like Chris Darrington, the junior college kids from Vincennes, Indiana, would fit that role. But it's just you've got to assess all these options, not rush into it, and just see what you can get figured out. Because you're pretty set up in 2018, 2019, obviously, especially if, as Justice Hill said this weekend, that he might that he's really considering taking classes and coming in 2018. With the other four kids. So you've got to just kind of assess everything and not rush into anything.
We're talking with Dudley Dawson. You can read him on wholehogsports.com. Dudley, I'm high on Gafford. I've seen him enough and in high school that I think he comes in and plays immediately and contributes defensively a lot. a rim protector, a great rebounder, and you know the way he runs the floor, he can get. He's not going to come in and get you 16, 15, but maybe he can get you 8, 10 points a game. But I think Gafford is going to come in and push Trey Thompson because Trey, this is it. You know, he's wanting to have a big year and go out with a bang. I think Gafford can have a pretty big impact next season. What do you think of Gafford?
I think there are two things there. I think Trey Thompson certainly made improvement this year. It's going to be his last go around. If he gets as serious as he can be during this off season, I expect him to start at the five or at the four, whatever numerical you want to use there. But I also don't rule out him and Daniel Gafford playing together at the four and five. It's going to be key for Arkansas to get a lot of rebounds next year, and that's certainly something that Daniel's great at. He was the leading shot blocker in the country in terms of number of blocks. I think he had 28 double-doubles and 17 triple-doubles. And to me, he's barely gotten into weights. He's listed at 6'11", 223. They think they can get him to get up here in June, and by the time the season starts, have him at a solid 240. And so that's, you know, I agree with you. He's got great athleticism. His best basketball is still ahead of him, but he's played some pretty good basketball already.
Yeah, I don't think he's not the project like Moses was. Moses was pretty raw when he came in.
Moses could not score except for a dunk and a layup that Bobby threw to him. And I'm not, you know, he'll tell you the same thing. He was just not an offensive player. He let everybody else have those shots. Daniel, while not being the, you know, a 25, 30-point game of score, is somebody, as you mentioned, who's going to be able to get your points inside, going to be able to I guess maybe the best thing about him offensive-wise is that he's a threat down low, and so it's going to open up everything for those guys on the outside as well.
Who do you see making a big jump off of this team to next year?
Well, you know, as I mentioned, I think C.J. Jones will certainly have the opportunity now. Coach has mentioned him in the press conferences and the talks that I've had with him outside of press conferences. So, you know, he feels real good about that, as we mentioned, Trey Thompson. But if I was going to tab somebody else that I think really would have the chance to step up, it's probably Adrio Bailey. He didn't get a lot of minutes this year, but when he did, he played pretty well. You know, certainly against North Carolina, he had a couple of buckets. And I don't know if everybody really noticed what he did defensively, but it certainly caught Coach Anderson's eyes in that game. So I think he's got a chance to really come on and be a great player as well. I hate to do the Mike Qualls thing on everybody, but he certainly has some of those same characteristics. Now, Michael Qualls, who averaged 3 points his freshman year, went to work on his jumper and became a great player by the time he was a junior, of course. But, yeah, if I'm picking somebody that probably goes Adrio Bailey, C.J. Jones, and Trey Thompson.
All right, before we let you go, what about scheduling next year? I felt the difference between being maybe advancing further, getting out of that 8-9 spot was, you know, they got to play some tougher games and win those games, of course. They had a chance against Minnesota. But anyway, and I think the SEC is going to help, you know, with the RPI and better teams next year. But do we know anything about the non-conference schedule yet?
Yeah, the first thing is they're playing in a tournament in Portland, Oregon. For Phil Knight's 80th birthday. 16 teams come into that really outside of Kentucky and North Carolina, just about every blue blood's there, and Arkansas has the opportunity to play in that. They've not announced the matchups yet, but, you know, that's going to be 3 games for them that will be certainly help them RPI-wise. They've got Minnesota coming back here. Minnesota obviously was in the tournament, and some people are projecting them to be in the top 10 to 15 next year. The SEC Big 12 Challenge, Arkansas should have a home game out of that, should get a good opponent out of that. And then TV, now that Arkansas, for lack of a better way to put it, is relevant again, the loss to North Carolina made them about as relevant as it did any of the rest of the season. That has the TV people taking a look, especially if Daryl Macon comes back, which I expect right now, then I think TV will reach out and try to schedule some games as well.
Dudley, great stuff. It was good to catch up with you, man. Who's going to win the Masters?
I'll take Phil Mickelson every day, but we have the same. We both take Embrell, and that's the reason why.
Take care, Dudley. Good to talk to you.
Later.